this decision letter. So I'll entertain a motion.
This is Scott. I'll move that the board make a finding pursuant to 1 VSA 313 that premature general public knowledge would place the board at a substantial disadvantage, and that therefore the board enter into executive session to discuss confidential attorney-client communications.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it, Chuck.
All those in favor, say aye. John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. We are now in executive session. John, turn off the record. Now, John, I think you should start the recording again.
It's on, and I've got Kurt Peterson, Jim Potter, Cynthia Hewitt, Alan Stein, Karen, John, and Kathy to let in.
Okay. Let them in. And Barb Zone should be coming. Barb Kessler should be coming at 7:30. So we have to deal with that at the appropriate time. So you'll want to let her in then. And then we can talk with her at that point.
I will keep an eye out for her.
And Jimmy has got down trees, so we're losing him for a while.
I'm here right now, but I just got a couple phone calls, so I will have to get going. But I'm planning on coming back and getting back on it with you.
That's all right, Jim. We'll survive with or without you, I guess. We'll have to.
Do we want to do a quick update while he's here? Or?
We can do that.
Have you let everybody in so we can call the meeting to order?
Yeah, everybody's in.
Okay. Jimmy, do you want us to give a quick, would you like to, even though this is out of order, can we have a quick update from Jimmy before he has to deal with downed trees? Is that amenable to the board?
Okay with me.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim.
All right, so lately we've been mowing leaves and getting around grading the roads again here and there. Not all the roads, you know, spot grading them and whatnot. We still got some other problems, clay road and whatnot, that we're getting ready to address. Been doing some ditching with the excavator. We've almost got all of our brown sand. We got like 400 more yards, I believe, to come to get, and they'll have that there. I've ordered a bunch of the missing signs for town, and that was a little over $1,600 for all the signs and that are missing. So we should see them here in another week, I would think, and we'll be able to go around and get done what's put up. They are painting at the garage. He's probably got about a quarter of it done. He's going along pretty good with it. And then the only other thing that I had that I thought we would talk about were the salt bids, but that's coming up a little bit later anyways. And I sent that stuff to Emily anyways as well.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay. If you need to get back on or would like me to, when I get back, whenever I get back, I can.
Okay. The meeting has been called to order. Public comment. Is there any public comment? Anybody want to make public comment? All right. Review of agenda. Are there any items that were deleted or anything that anyone wishes to add?
Emily, we should probably add, just so we do it in an open meeting, the authorization on having the chair sign the right-of-way decision when we get to that point?
Well, we have here Tego store decision approval. So I'm just going to put authorization beside that.
Okay, that sounds fine.
And so it would seem to me that that would fit in under that category legally. Do you feel not?
No, that's fine.
Is that okay?
No, that's fine.
Anything else? There is one thing here. This is a fairly long agenda. And if this meeting goes as long as it may, we may cut out a few things and put them off until the next meeting if they're not an emergency or a very timely thing. So I need an approval of the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Does someone wish to make a motion?
So moved.
Someone second?
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself. Okay, recurring items, approval of the 9:16 minutes. Did anyone take a look at those? And if so, did they find any problems?
Look good to me.
Anyone else? Any have any problems? Okay. I need a motion then.
I move we accept the 9:16 minutes.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Warrants for approval. It is my understanding we have three warrants. We have a payroll warrant 21028 for $9,022.78. An accounts payable warrant 21024 for $10,264.56, and an accounts payable warrant 21025 for $9,568.88. And I move that we pay those warrants. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on those warrants? I believe Ellen sent all of those to you as well as to me. Any questions, concerns?
I did see them. I thought there were different numbers, so I was just trying to go back and find it. So,
did I miss one?
Not necessarily. I was just trying to find them from Ellen.
Ellen sent that email with those warrants on Monday.
Yep. Oh, it's the 100 and... Hold on. If we're going to vote for them in a whole, then I am not going to vote on these. And it's due to ongoing discussion that we'll have later, which is what I had brought up at a previous meeting. Although we're obligated by law to pay it, I would vote no to pay it if given the choice. So you guys can proceed how you feel, but I, under good conscience, cannot vote for one of these. So,
do you want to withhold one of those checks?
Legally, we don't have a choice. So, you know, I do personally, but the town doesn't. So, I honestly don't know how to proceed with it.
You want
to? Does anyone have any thoughts on the matter?
You want to wait? Don? You want to wait and approve the warrants at the end after we've had the discussion, so we can at least have the discussion.
If we can do that, that would be great.
I don't see why we can't. We can delay the vote on these warrants until later in the meeting.
Why don't we do that? Just to give time to air John's concern.
Do we need to vote on that delay?
Yeah. Why don't we, just for the sake of formality?
John, why don't you make a motion to delay the approval of these warrants until after a discussion on another agenda item?
I make a motion that we delay the vote on the three warrants at hand until we have further discussion, and we will vote on them at the end of the meeting.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Okay, items for discussion or vote. Truck bids. Steve sent a spreadsheet to us earlier today.
Oh, here it is.
And you and Jimmy, you and Jimmy went through these, I presume, and what is your recommendation?
The recommendation is to go with the Clark's International, which would be, it's not numbered, but it would be the second one down on the spreadsheet for $153,956.
And I assume that this one is the same truck, spec'd out the same as the two that we are going to get this fall or that winter.
That is correct.
Is there any discussion on this before, or perhaps Steve, you would like to make a motion regarding what you feel we should purchase, and then we can have a discussion.
I'll make a motion that we purchase from Clark's International for the price of $153,956. It's the same specs and same truck as we're getting, two trucks as we're getting now.
I'll second that so we can discuss.
Is there any discussion on that motion?
What's the difference in the two Clark's ones? One has the warranty listed, and then the other one doesn't have it. I'm assuming it's included in the vehicle price.
It's included in the, yes, it's included.
Which is what we had done previous with the other two trucks, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Yep. Okay. Basically, what they did is they held the price and gave us the same pricing as they did on the same comparable truck that we already ordered.
Yeah, I know when we went over the specs, there was differences in the spec of the two. So the second one represents the, right, what you've got it listed there, same specs as last year. So they did the warranty included in the price, I believe, from what they did last year. And the other one had changed some components and then listed the warranty separate. So
correct. Yep.
So is it, I'm trying to make sense of, I'm going back to our previous truck purchase, and I can't quite tell, Steve, you might be able to say offhand, is the total price including the warranty actually lower than what they quoted last time? It looks lower when you factor in the 5-year warranty.
I think
we did 10 wheeler with the Fairfield. Is that right?
No, it was the Viking.
Viking. Okay. So it was, we did the, I got to pull it up, my spreadsheet. I think I got the wrong one.
I thought the price that we were going to pay for the truck that we're getting in right now is about $145,000.
Well, I'm looking at the price.
That sounds about right. The only difference is this time around is because of the trade difference was a little bit less. So that the difference is off by approximately that $10,000. That's why this number is actually a little bit higher than what we paid last year. And the only difference there is because of the trade value.
So you're talking net price. I'm talking vehicle price. And what I'm trying to find out is before trade-in, is the price we're paying for the vehicle and the trade-in the same? Same price. I think it was $196,617. Is that right? For the last one? It's not a huge difference. It's a couple of grand, if I'm reading this right.
Right. And then I think at that meeting, we had another meeting, if you remember, and we voted to go back and increase that up because of we did the higher quality seat.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And this price reflects that already.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's the difference.
I believe so. Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. My only other question is, just so I can keep track of this, what truck is it that's getting traded in for the 45?
The Western Star.
Wow. Okay, so that's our newest truck. So we're getting the lowest trade-in on that truck out of all three. And that, I'm assuming, is because of the condition it's in?
That and the knowledge and the history of the front end.
Right, right. Okay. All right. I just wanted to have clarity around I assumed it was going to be the Western Star. But I guess I was hoping our trade-in would be better than that, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions regarding the truck purchase?
The only one I would have would be for Ellen is where we're at
financially with everything going on, making sure that this is going to be covered.
Is Ellen here today, tonight?
She is, yes.
I am here, but I don't have the numbers in my head.
Okay.
I'll send you a report on Friday.
I know we went through them before and the money was there, so, and some more money's come in since then, so I'm assuming this is something we're voting on tonight, Steve.
I thought that's what was...
Been a long time coming, so...
Yeah, I thought that was the plan.
Well, I think if we're going to get a truck in sometime next fall, and it may be later than then, if we don't make a decision pretty soon, we're going to be putting it off and having to live with that Western Star yet another winter. And we may already, we've put this on about long enough. You can make an amendment to that motion to commit to the Clark's International Standard Transmission with the same specs as the 2019 for that amount of money, if indeed Ellen finds that the sinking fund can support that purchase. It was my understanding that the sinking fund could. That being said, I did not look at those figures before this tonight, and so I cannot say that for sure.
But that's where we were at. Sorry, go ahead.
It should be okay. I mean, Ellen's certainly the best authority on it, but I'm just looking at the numbers on my end, and we should be comfortably.
So you can add that to the motion, and that way we when Ellen looks at the figures on Friday, then we can get this thing off the counter and get it a commitment onto the truck dealer so that we can get this thing started. And that would be my suggestion.
I'm happy to continue on and just let it go through at this point. I mean, I'm confident that the money I'm confident the money is in the sinking fund. I mean, I guess the broader question is just where we are with tax revenue, and it was better than I thought that it might be at our last meeting when Ellen gave her last report. Not that we can use the sinking fund for anything else if need be anyway, so without at least voter approval. So it is a necessary purchase, so.
So we have that item on the agenda now, on the table, the motion on the table. Are there any other questions regarding this purchase? And if not, are you ready to take a vote on this motion? Any other questions? Then all those in favor of purchasing the standard transmission from Clark's International with the same specs as 2019 for $153,956, signify by saying aye. John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay. The next item is grants in aid invitation. And I believe I sent that to you all. This is the grant that we get through Two Rivers for ditching and that kind of things, improving of hydrologically connected roads. And I believe the amount, I do not have it in front of me at the moment, but it's about $18,000 with a match of here it is right here. $18,900 is their offer, and we will have a match of cash or in kind of $4,725. However, we have to return this signed letter of intent before I can't remember what date. So we need to approve and accept this offer of grants and aid. So I need a motion to that effect, if indeed you wish to do that.
So barring
that no one wishes, thank you, Steve. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Do you want to discuss this?
What's the timeline for execution?
That will have to be done before the 1st of July.
Okay, so we've got time.
Two Rivers will come out, and they will make a plan with Jim this fall and seek out several alternatives. I'm not sure, but what Jimmy hasn't already talked to them about it, and then we'll be ready to get on it first thing in the spring.
Okay.
As soon as they can do it. So it certainly can get done, barring a major flood event or something along those lines. We can easily get it accomplished.
Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions? All those in favor, signify by saying aye. John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Just so that you know, I did also, considering we're talking about grants, I did receive a letter from VTrans. There will be no structures grants now that the legislature has passed their budget. There will be no structures grants awarded this year, and you will still be in the queue as you would be this year, next year, that will just continue on as if no one had gotten grants, and so you'll still be in your same place in the queue. They are going to honor the Better Roads program, and they will be sending out information as to who has received those grants for that. We did ask for and apply for a Better Roads grant for the Howe Hill project for all the culverts because we've already done the work. Unless VTrans looks on us very positively, I do not expect to get that grant because normally you have to wait until do the work until after you have been awarded the grant and signed all the documents. That being said, maybe we will. They might look kindly on us, but I wouldn't hold my breath. So next thing is rock salt bids. Jim sent to you, I believe, rock salt bids that he got the other day. And let me see. Did he send that to all of you or to just to me?
I had gotten one thing maybe a week ago, but only from
the American rock salt bid is for non-enhanced salt, and that price is $76 a ton, and he sent me another one. Just let me go back and take a look, because I thought he was going to be here. I did not do my homework on this. I apologize for that. He also got a bid from Cargill, and white salt is from them, is going to be $69.21 for white. And let me go and look at the Clear Lane, which he feels is the better alternative, is going to be $79.21. He feels that we get a better job with the Clear Lane, and Let me read to you his email when I inquired about what was the deal with American Rock Salt. American Rock Salt is not enhanced, and yes, the enhanced is better all the way around, and it's better for vehicles and for us, our trucks. We can use straight salt to see usage different and the quality and safety of our roads this year for comparison. I do know the town lines show it. Woodstock uses enhanced, Sharon and Hartford does not. And so we can postpone this decision. Jim may come back if you want to have more of a discussion, or we can take up one of these bids. But I do think we probably ought to get on board with someone, seeing that it's the middle of October. Is there any discussion?
I know that we made the decision last year to go with the clear lane because it's a lot less usage as well.
Was it last year American Rock Salt, or was that the year before?
I think that was the year before.
Who did we get who do we get clear lane from?
I think, but I'm not gonna swear to it. I think it was Cargill last year.
And I guess the only question I had is whether anyone looked at the state contract, whether we can buy off of that, whether there's any upside to buying off of the state. We can typically buy off of the state contract. So I'd be curious whether we looked into that and whether it might be cheaper for us for the same product. I don't think I would disagree on getting the clear lane, but if we can get the clear lane product, and I do think the state goes with Cargill more often than not.
I'm pretty sure the state uses, and you may know better, Steve, but I'm pretty sure they use straight salt and use a wetting agent when they need it. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also, and on the thruway, they're using a lot of the brine.
Right.
For the state roads. But that being said, I do not believe Jim looked into the state bid. And usually we get a letter regarding the state bid, and I have not received any correspondence in that regard. We certainly can look into that and come back to this at the next meeting if that's what you want to do, or if we feel that it is something that we it may say on those bids how good that how long that good big bid is good for.
I'm looking at the state contracts right now, so I can get an answer pretty fast. But the state's buying from American Rock Salt, Cargill, and Company.
Jimmy is back, so he is just rejoining us.
Okay.
And Barb from VSP is also here, so I know he said she was going to be on at 7:30.
So we ought to go to Barb as soon as we get this squared away. Or we can go to Barb, and that will give you time to look at look up the state bid, Scott. Would you like to do that?
Sure, why don't we do that?
Okay. Barb, John says you're here, so you're on.
All right, so I guess some of the questions that I've gotten prior to the meeting, sorry, I apologize now for all the animals that are wanting their dinner here, of how to best contact the state police to direct us towards the Pomfret areas that need patrol. And I would definitely say just email me and I can dispatch the troopers as needed. Wherever you would like them to go, we're happy to go to. I will tell you that the one that was doing the most of the work in Pomfret, he's out on back injury right now, hoping to get him back next month. But the other guy's trying to pick up the slack a little bit, but there was a little bit of a drop in your hour usage for, I think it was July and August, so. Dogs.
Does anyone have any questions for Barb? I'll be honest, I have not had time. I got your email just as we were starting the meeting, and I have not had time to look at those figures. So I apologize for that, and I will send that to the rest of the board. But I personally think that people are just flying on Howe Hill, and it's not just during drive times, it's all the time. And I think now that the road is better, you really are going to have to spend some time there. And the other thing that is happening in Pomfret is roadsides are being vandalized and being stolen. And I called the dispatcher, and after I found one that had been pulled up but hadn't been taken, and another one had been taken, and I didn't get a very enthusiastic response. And it wasn't like I called at 6 o'clock in the morning. This was 10:30 in the morning, because I didn't find the sign until 9. And another resident saw the people that were messing with the sign, and the trooper did agree to take their name and number, and he did contact them. But I didn't get a very good response, considering it's vandalism and theft, and we've lost a lot of road signs over the last year or two. So it's an ongoing and a serious issue.
Okay. Do you know what trooper you spoke to?
I spoke to Trooper Harvey.
Oh, God. Yeah. I apologize for anyone who has to deal with him. He's just... he's about a year from retirement.
Stop, dogs.
About a year from retirement, and it shows. He's the one I have to talk to all the time. But do you know when this is happening? Is there certain times or that you want different patrols?
Well, this one, the one that Ellen DeMurls, it was right next to her home, and they took it before daylight at 5:30 in the morning, or tried to, and she disturbed them when she turned the lights on. And the other one was taken sometime between Friday night and Saturday morning at 9, when I noticed that one was missing, and no one was there or noticed that one being taken. But these guys are going, and Ellen could tell you more because she saw them, but they're going with four-wheelers or side-by-sides and or dirt bikes, and they're taking these things and taking off with them. And it's getting to be an expensive, and also the signs are there so that emergency services can find these locations. And there's more roads without signs than with in many parts of town now, and it's serious.
Okay, I will definitely put out an email and ask for some more work on that.
Does anyone else have any other areas in town where they feel that the state police should be spending more time?
I was talking
with... I see Howe Hill because I'm here, but...
I was talking with my neighbors tonight, and they're actually... Their house is for sale, most likely moving. Part of most of it's because of the road, which obviously they knew when they bought it. They now have a little one, but they've let me know that people fly by their house. It's one of the few straight-ish parts in town. And, you know, I don't live on the road, but I can see it from my house, and people definitely move through here. You know, I have no idea what the speed is they're actually going, but you know, often see troopers parked at Tego on occasion, the school very often, because it you know, it's a convenient place to park, and it's flat there and straight too, but it'd be great to see them in other locations as well. So so this is right at the base of Cheadle Hill there at the town garage down through to where it goes into the pines.
Okay, perfect. I will let them know that too. Do you know if they stop in at that house? Do you think that they would be able to sit probably in or near the driveway or at the barn across the road there?
Yeah, certainly potential. Okay. I don't know, but.
Okay. Great. I'll let them.
The bottom of Rudge Road would be a good spot too, because that's going to intercept. That's kind of halfway in between where they're speeding.
Okay, I'll make a note of that too.
We had also talked, this is Scott Woodward. We had also talked about some of our challenges with ATVs. And I believe in previous discussion, we had also talked about some expectation around reports we're supposed to be getting. Those are two things I recall from previous discussions. I don't know if anybody's brought anything to your attention about ATVs in Pomfret, but that certainly has gotten attention lately. And I'm not sure what the reports would be, but some routine reporting on stops and so forth and things like that.
Barb did send me those reports. I have not opened that yet. This evening, just as we were starting the other the special meeting, and I will send those to all of the board members.
Okay.
So that you can take a look at those as well. But they just showed up this evening. But I have received more than one complaint about dirt bikes and along Webster Hill Road and along Hewitt Hill Road up at the top. And I guess it's Hidden Ridge, isn't it, that goes up by Charlotte Donaldson's old place. And so they're doing some traveling, and they're running on trails, and they're running on roads as well. And whether they're registered or not, I haven't got a clue, but they are annoying more than just one person, because I've had two or three people either email me or call me and complain. And I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it, but maybe a police presence. And I don't know whether they do it more on the weekend or not. After my response from Trooper Harvey, the last lady that called me, I was hesitant to say call the state police, because obviously he wasn't terribly interested in listening about the signs or anything. So I figured that maybe that we weren't going to get much of a response. And in that case, I wasn't quite sure what we were paying for.
Well, that's just it. And that's, yeah, that's, I'm going to have a talk with him again. But the ATVs are all going to be a little tricky, but yeah, I think you're right. The presence is going to make more of a difference. The problem with them is the them and the dirt bikes, when they take off, we really have very little ability to pursue. In fact, we actually aren't allowed to. However, you know, just a presence, and I think maybe just a friendly like stop and say like, okay, you know, this isn't cool. You need to not be doing this, or, you know, we're going to start spending a lot more time up here, and you'll be greatly inconvenienced. So, and I have noticed them on Skyline too, when I'm up at the barn. So that's, it's a little rare for them to be that brazen, I think.
Any other questions or concerns you wish to share with Barb? And any of the public that wishes to share anything with Barb? It seemed to me John said there were quite a few publics around on the Zoom meeting.
There are, yes. I don't see any hands, so.
No hands?
No hands.
Okay, any other questions from the board for Barb before we let her go?
No, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to Zoom in with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And I will try to be more regular with the reports. We went over to a different system, and it was it's really hard getting the getting the troopers to all get on board with using Excel. So it's been an exercise in patience. So they should be coming a lot more regularly now and be able to get those to you. I need to also set myself a reminder monthly to send them. So, but happy to do that. All right. So yeah, and just if you have any issues, probably the best way to, you know, just ask for more patrols and, you know, not on an emergency basis is to just email me and I can dispatch the sergeants directly and I'll make it happen. So
we do have one hand up now. Alan.
Yes. Hi. I'm Alan Stein with the Vermont Standard. I just wanted to ask how many signs have been stolen in total, would you say? And any estimated cash value, dollar value?
Is Jimmy on? Would he happen to know how many are missing?
I currently just ordered 32 of them.
32. Oh, wow.
And that bill came to, $1,680 or something like that.
I was told by, they're having a similar problem over in Bridgewater. And they said that the average cost of a sign is roughly $100. Does that sound correct?
I don't know. I think we averaged right around, I can't remember now, but 38, 40 bucks, something like that.
38 to 40. Wow. And
but that didn't count the posts and everything, did it, Jim?
No, that doesn't count the posts. That doesn't count the time and the labor to put them in. So, I mean, by the time you get all that figured into it, you're about $250. Or something like
that. So they're basically coming in the early or the early morning hours and just literally pulling the whole post and street sign off?
Some of them.
Wow, okay. And this has been going on for roughly a year to 2 years?
And going on forever.
Oh boy. Any suspects at this point? Any ideas who might be doing it or?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Wow, okay. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other hands, John?
That is it.
Thank you very much, Barb, for taking the time to be with us this evening. We appreciate your time.
No problem. And let me know if you need any help with anything else, and we'll get right on it. And let me know if you see a difference, too, with all the information I'm going to put out to them right now. So, and I'll have the troopers start a case for the missing signs too, if they haven't already. So, have a good night.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye bye.
Okay, we've gotten Barb done. If Jimmy's back, or Scott, we were on rock salt bids. Did you find the state contract bid?
I did. It's not clear. I can't tell from the contract whether it contains a clear lane option or not. So I'm not really sure how to proceed, but I guess my one question for Jim is, it sounds like everything I was able to gather in short order sounds like it is smart to use the clear lane. I was looking at Pittsburgh, for example. And Woodstock also buys clear lane. So there is some precedent out there. But my question for you, Jim, is should we be purchasing a little of both or should it all be clear lane?
Well, as a rule of thumb anyways, that's kind of what, I mean, we have to do that anyways, because with them contracts, if memory serves me right, without pulling it back up, I know last year on any of them contracts that we signed, if we said we were going to use 1,000 ton, you were allowed like 5% more over that 1,000 ton, and then anything above that is going to be an additional $10 more or $15 more a ton. So usually what I try to do is whoever does it, you can get that clearling from the, you know, the treated salt. You sign a contract for both. So you don't ever get, number one, you never get a shortage on bean without it. And there becomes times where, like last year, I think I ordered some regular straight salt to mix in with it as well at times.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that answers that question. The other question is, I imagine the answer to this is no, but since we don't have a storage shed for the salt, is there any impact on the clear lane? Is it going to have any issues not being sheltered, or is it going to be fine?
It is sheltered.
Oh, it is. Okay. So we're covered now.
We put it in the shed. Yep. It goes right inside the shed.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Yep.
So do you want to proceed with this bed, or do you?
Where the clear lane is super advantageous is in the cold weather. I mean, if we had a sizable shed where you could store two products, you know, when it's 32 out and snowing, the regular salt is, and Jim certainly has more experience than I do. My experience is more from reading and the few classes I've taken, but the regular salt works as well as the clear lane and higher temperatures. But the real advantageous part of it is as the colder it gets, the rock salt itself drops off, where the treated salt works much better.
Right.
But we don't have that. And, you know, years ago when winters were just cold all the time, it didn't really matter. But you can't really plan for all scenarios. So
right.
I would get the treated salt.
Freezing and thawing going on.
And I so do you want to go ahead, Jim?
The rock salt get the bid? The state bid, you did, right?
The state has three contracts. The state has a contract with Rock Salt, Cargill, and Compass Minerals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because I know I talked to Cargill just the other day, and he said they did not get the state bid.
No, I'm looking at the state website right now. There were three contracts awarded. All of them go out to September 2021 for American Rock Salt, Cargill, and Compass.
I know last
year. But you can't get a price off of that?
What I can't tell, so I pulled up the contract for Cargill, and what I can't tell is if in the contract any of what is being purchased is clear lane. It's hard to tell because they might not, I don't see any reference to it, but there's also a lot of spec information in there. So I don't know if there's clear lane in that or not. I'm going to assume it's not.
And what is the price?
The price is I'm sorry. Let me back up. Cause we're District 4. So I think maybe what you were hearing, Jimmy, was relevant to District 4, because the Cargill contract doesn't apply to District 4. The American Rock Salt is the one that applies to District 4, and it's at $52.65 per ton. Then it goes on. I'm not sure what this next one is, but yeah, it's for districts and towns within each district, American Rock Salt is $52.65 per ton. So I guess what I would say is, since we can't tell whether this includes clear lane, we should, but I think we should buy the clear lane. But maybe if we're going to buy straight salt, we buy it off the state contract.
Correct. Yep.
Is there going to be some transportation charge on top of that? Delivery charge that's already included in this other bid? Because all these other bids are delivered to the town garage.
Which is weird, because rock salt, American rock salt, like last year when I called about the bid, the state bid, and whoever got the state bid last year, they were about $4 more a ton than Agro was. And then what's really weird is why would they have given us a price on that, knowing that they got the state bid?
That's been our experience in the past, that the state bid has been higher than bids that we've been able to get. So
no, I thought we purchased off of the state contract maybe a couple of years ago, and it was actually cheaper.
I don't think we did. I don't recall that we did. I thought every year that it was cheaper through buying it yourself, and which didn't make any sense at all. But I think in order to make an intelligent decision with all the facts, we need to find out. We need to call District 4 or have Jimmy talk to District 4 and find out what the state contract is going to cost us, and whether it's going to be straight white salt or whether it's be clear lane, because we do not have enough information to make this decision intelligently until we know that for sure, and whether or not that is a delivered price or whether there's a delivery charge on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have all the information we need to make an intelligent decision. That's my feeling.
Well, why don't we just do a little bit of more homework and...
Well, I think that's necessary to come up with an answer that gives us everything that we need to know to make an intelligent decision. Not that I wouldn't like to sign a contract today, but I just don't think we have all the answers. What we certainly shouldn't be paying $80 a ton if we can get it for, even if it were $80 is the clear lane, but why pay $69 if you can get it for $55 from the same vendor through the state? But we don't know for sure that that's the case. So I think we better do some homework.
Okay.
Does anybody disagree with that? Okay, more homework needed. The Cary driveway permit, that should have been included in your packet as well. We should set up a site visit, but there is a problem with the Cary driveway permit, and that is that it is in the floodway, or it may be in the floodway, most likely is, and so is going to require Zoning Board of Adjustment approval. Ben had a conversation with the person that monitors and oversees the flood designation, and that is going to be necessary. So we should schedule a site visit. But the driveway doesn't come out on the road in an appropriate fashion. I didn't look at it with a buying eye when I drove by it today, but we need to schedule a site visit, and then we can say that they can get on the road, but they're going to have to deal with the flood regulations through the Zoning Board of Adjustment to put the road in there that I understand they've already put in anyway.
Emily?
Erin's got her hand up.
Emily?
Yes.
I am here. This is Karen.
Yes.
So I spoke with the Carys today, and they are aware that the driveway is in the floodplain and that they are going to have to come before the ZBA. I sent her a permit application to not the driveway access, but the permit application for her to fill out, send to me, and then I'm going to schedule a hearing with the ZBA so they are aware that they are going to need one. So that's all set. So I'm going to have to schedule a site visit with the ZBA as well once I get a hearing date.
Well, maybe we should do the select board should do the site visit at the same time that you do the zoning board of adjustment, and then they'll only have to go down there once.
That's what I would suggest. So I'm actually, so Kimberly is going to be sending me that like within the next day or two, and then I'm going to connect with the ZBA, get a hearing date, get a site visit date, and then I'll connect with the select board to see when it's best for them as well, and then pretty much coordinate everybody. We're all down there together, socially distancing, but all down there together.
That sounds great. You don't need all of the select board.
No.
Sometimes only two or three of us go.
No.
It would be nice to have Jim Potter in the loop as well.
Yes, but I need a quorum from the ZBA. So,
we'll let you schedule us for a site visit then, if
yep.
that's okay with the rest of the board. Any complaints?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take care of it.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Greg Green Access. We did do a site visit. Chuck and Steve and I were there, as was Greg Green and Jim Potter, and we came up with a viable site so that he can get in there with the appropriate site distance and whatever. Maybe Jim or Chuck or Steve. It's going to require an 18-inch culvert, and other than that, it's pretty much they've got the site distance, and they may have to cut a few bushes and maybe a tree. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's the way I remember it.
And so I think we need to have a motion to approve their access with the 18-inch culvert and cutting of brush.
So moved.
And tree. And I need a second.
Second.
Is there any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So I will get that permit sent back to them and with the appropriate conditions. Tego de Store decision approval. We need authorization for a signature after we come up with the final document. I need a motion to that effect.
I'll move, this is Scott, I'll move that the board authorize the chair to sign the decision once it's in final draft and once we get the final response from the applicant.
Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
Any more discussion regarding that motion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Okay, options for school division from the Modified Union School District. I assume this had tied in with the warrants, John?
So I asked for this to be placed on it, and you know, I realized that I voted and spoke up in favor of the merger. I'm not sure there were options then. I'm not sure there are options now. But I do deeply regret speaking in favor of it at the time. Talking with Senator Dick McCormick yesterday and today, who also feels that the the greater merging of school districts was a bad idea. He does feel that we have it now and should work with it, which I think we probably don't have any choice based on what's happened in a few other towns. And a lot of this has come about due to personal experiences that I've had, but both as a board member, knowing how we conduct business is deeply disturbing as a board member of, a civil organization such as the town, at both how the school and the school board that we've entrusted with our children and our money is deeply disturbing to me. And after contacts that a family member of mine has had with other people that feel similarly, as well as other people that feel very similarly, but feel that if they had their name attached to anything, feel that there would be retribution both potentially on their children as well as themselves or their spouses, given the close relationship, working relationship that they have with different parts of the school. And ideally, this is not the place to have this out, but when this every person you contact at both school and supervisory level, as well as school board level, with the exception of one of the people that I have contacted, do not pick up the phone, answer questions either via email or telephone, is greatly disturbing. And there's no other forum for anybody. And, you know, I as a board member and somebody that sends the school a lot of money, I don't have a lot of confidence in what's going on down there. Which I don't say lightly. So I don't know what we as a board, what we have for a responsibility, which, you know, under statute, I'm sure we have none, other than collect the money and send it to them. So I'm at a loss for words, personally. I just don't, that's all I have.
This is Scott. I'm just going to say up front, I'm kind of in listening mode here on this topic. But one thing that is at the board's option is, while it's non-binding and is merely an expression of sentiment, the board could, if it wished, draft a resolution or a statement. And again, it wouldn't have any force, but it would at least formally state a position of the board if the board wanted to go down that route. But I don't know of any other options that the board could actually pursue.
No, I don't think there are. A lot of this stems from COVID and an imperfect world right now. And I realize that parents, students, teachers, administrators are all stressed, but there's definitely a group of people that have been, in my opinion, left out. Monday night at the school board meeting, I found it very ironic when they're, so the way it's set up down there is they have hybrid in-person learning, students that go two-ish days a week and then do home study / remote learning at home, and then others that do just remote learning that family, for whatever reason, has decided that they don't feel it's safe for one reason or another to send their child to in-person school. And so to me, there's a quality of education problem. So both at the meeting on Monday, the school board talked about how things were going, and in their agenda, it alluded to the fact that things were going great, when in fact, they really haven't checked with the online students, because they were discussing that things were going great with the online students, but nobody really asked the students or the parents. Supposedly, there's been surveys, but I've talked to several parents that haven't had surveys. And then they went on to talk about discrimination policies based on race and religion. Well, you know, we have a real discrimination based on those students that can't be at school or getting an inferior education to the ones that are there. And when you send questions to the school and the board and the supervisory union, they largely go unanswered. So I realize everything in the world is a mess right now. It just doesn't seem like they're providing. So Bob Coates has his hand up. So unless anybody else on the board wants to speak. Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, John. Well, you know, I think given the topic on the agenda, I felt like, you know, Bill and I needed to be here. Bill couldn't be here. I'm here certainly to represent the school board, although I can't necessarily, I don't want to take responsibility for all decisions that have been made. But John and I have talked extensively, because I'm certainly concerned for him and I'm concerned for his family. I talked to Kathy today, which has given me a much better picture of sort of how things have played out. I think you know, this is as John has alluded to, there are you know, COVID has turned the world upside down. It's turned our schools upside down, and you know, the school board, and the school administration have attempted to put in place educational model to sort of get through the, you know, the COVID pandemic. And it's a model that's not unlike many other school districts in the state, in that, you know, the administration chose this hybrid model, the board signed off on it. At the time, I think a decision was made to say that expecting teachers generally to teach simultaneously to in-person and live virtual, you know, those students who elected to not send their kids to school in the hybrid model, to do that simultaneously was going to be too challenging, given everything else that had to happen, both physically with the school, academically with the curriculum, scheduling, logistics, the whole nine yards. So what the school district did was what other districts did in the state, and that is they set up an online school option, and originally it was VTVLC is the acronym. John, you may remember, know what that actually stands for, but it's an online school, basically.
I believe it's the Vermont Virtual Learning Cooperative.
Yeah, great, thank you. And you know, to shorten the story, it's just to say that you know, there were decisions made. And I think this is, you know, John's observation around either both the level of communication around this as it happened, as well as the actual decisions. Did it happen as the administration says it happens? We also had Bill Overbay and I had a meeting with Garen, and we had a meeting with Sherry Seuss, the interim superintendent, to sort of walk through their timeline, what happened and why. But what happened was essentially we were, you know, VTVLC was oversubscribed statewide. Too many people were choosing that option. And as a result of us not committing to the resources they needed, we lost access for some of our students. So the alternative was the Vermont High School, another model. And I think John Brigham Young University had some kind of online model that was offered up. It was offered up at the last minute. I know that there were folks trying to work on this over the weekend because it happened very short notice, all highly unfortunate. So this is what played out. And I think the experience for, certainly for John and Kathy and for others, has not been what it should be. So what Bill and I have done in the conversations we've had with the superintendent and with Garen, the principal of the high school, is make the point that we know of other examples where teachers are teaching to both in-person and virtual live simultaneously, and that it's better to have students continue to be associated, even if remotely, with their class than it is to be part of a curriculum that is not really even aligned with the curriculum of the school district. I think that's a fair statement. And recognize that this isn't all elective. There are, you know, parents who legitimately feel that it is too risky to send their students to school. And so, and as well as, you know, parents who have students who are immunocompromised and for health reasons can't be in school. So some of this is not, certainly not elective. So what Bill and I have highly recommended, we did it again in the board meeting the other night, was that the school leadership look at bringing these kids back in or giving them the option. We want to create as many options as possible to create an option where students can be available or can be in school from home simultaneously with their in-school classmates. And, you know, there are reasons that make this difficult, but neither Bill or I see reasons that it can't, none of those things could be surmounted, and that there's ways to do this because you know, we have an obligation to create options that have a bit more equity than is presently the case with this online school option only for, you know, for parents who are trying to educate their kids from home. So two things are happening. The school is sending out surveys. I need to get more information on the extent of that, but they want to evaluate after 6 weeks of school how we're doing with both the hybrid model and the purely virtual model that that you know John's had interaction with. I have highly encouraged them to do a focus group type of interaction via Zoom with the families that I'm finding out from Kathy today. Many of them have moved on. Either they've so unhappy, perhaps they've gone to homeschool, or they made a forced decision to send their kids back to school. I think we need to get an assessment of that. I've talked to Sherry and Garen about that, so we need to get an assessment. But just understand, all of this is, you know, all of this is challenging in terms of what we're trying to do and put together. But we'll continue. We're going to continue to advocate, and I've requested a special board meeting after we get the results of the survey. Once we know what parents' reactions are, you know, what their feedback is, if we need to have a conversation to make decisions, we should do so and not wait another month. So that's what we're doing, and I will say that despite all of that, you know, I see no compelling reason to seriously consider, you know, seceding from the supervisory union. And again, I understand there's a diversity of opinion on, you know, the whole phenomena here of what was, you know, our own school district and becoming part of a merged unified school district. But from my standpoint as a board member, this was a reality that was coming. And fortunately I feel like the community, those who voted for it obviously, made the decisions at the right time. You know, Barnard hung on and hung out, and they did not realize any of the incentives, only to be essentially forced into the union, which really is proving to be their lifeline in terms of it's just getting really difficult to run school districts as a small community, the economies of scale and everything else. So I just wanted to be clear that I don't support leaving the union. Yes, is it imperfect? Absolutely. Is it a big board, 18 members? Absolutely. Is it a bit unwieldy? Yes. But there are good people involved. There are good, you know, we have an administration that is moving the district. We're in a superintendent search. There will be new leadership. There'll be new permanent leadership coming. I'm still optimistic, and I'll close by saying that we have been working hard to get that school, our school, back online. And the district has responded. They've invested over $200,000 in remediation and cleanup of the mold issue that we experienced. And that's positive. They've invested in the HVAC system that will control the environment in that school, which will be a game changer. We're looking for the appropriate educational use for that building. I put out in a listserv email that I think the district has real issues come next fall if we are back, 5 days a week. And it does look like we may be in this hybrid model for the rest of the year. Come next fall, if we're back, there's no way to put 306 kids back in the West Elementary School. I am recommending to a committee, a working group of the board, that they can seriously consider moving sixth grade, at least West sixth grade, to the Pomfret School, because I think the campus would be perfect for sixth graders. So I'll stop there and just let you know that I am definitely not in favor and I also share John's frustration. At least I understand the frustration. Both Bill and I are trying to fix a problem for potentially 40 families. So.
We have another hand up, Kathy.
So I'm going to forego mentioning the fact that the school is not providing appropriate education to 39 students. They've given them a home study program and are calling that public education by checking them in with them once a week, which I'm completely against. And all the COVID stress and the hybrid learning and all of that, regardless of any of that, as far as Pomfret joining Woodstock Elementary School and or the high school or any of that, there's a lot of ball dropping that's gone on, and an 18 member board is not only unwieldy, but it is impossible to have your voice heard. There is no more individual representation. You can reach out to your one or two representatives that may or may not respond to you, but the rest of the board ignores you because they don't know you. They don't care about their students. There are so many of them that they have no idea what's going on, and they don't even seem to have a desire to figure out what's going on. They don't ask for documents to confirm things. They just believe whatever the principal, the superintendent, and everyone else is telling them, because it's easier. It's very hard to get 18 people to sit down and actually research something and come to a conclusion, because it's much easier to pass it on and say, well, someone else will do it. There's 18 of us. Somebody else can do it. Someone else can do it. Someone else can do it. I personally have been in this school system, and Woodstock hasn't had a good principal since I was in it. It's 20 years now. Superintendents come and go, principals come and go. The administration has always been pretty poor. Personal opinion, completely. But Pomfret has done far better. They've had some bad principals, but the teachers have been awesome to adjust for that. They've had some really good principals. There is a completely different community and a completely different set of values at the Pomfret school as opposed to that of the Woodstock school and the administration that they seem to attract and keep for a very short amount of time. Honestly, if the Pomfret school did K through 12, there might be enough numbers to keep it going. I have no idea. You'd have to look at all those numbers and all of those things. All their mold remediation was due to the fact that the school was ignored by the giant 18 person school board and everything that went along with unifying the district, because it had been functional before that. Mind you, not perfect. I'm not going to lie to you. There were issues, but the reality is that giant sum of money may or may not have been necessary if we hadn't unified and everyone had gone along as it was. As a K through six school, it can't afford it. But if you got rid of the high school altogether and it was just Pomfret, perhaps it could afford to be sustainable, because if you have good teachers and you have good administration, people will send their kids there. And when kids come as in with tuition, it isn't the same formula as kids who are going there from Pomfret. So if you can get good teachers and good administration and make a name for yourself, then maybe you can market your school as something better than just the average or below average, as the case may be. And that's just my opinion. I'm sure there's lots of them. But that all happened way before any of this virtual learning stuff. And regardless of the fact that they've completely dropped the ball in the virtual learning, that is a whole nother story. The issues are much more far underlying than anything to do with the current COVID situation.
Just to be clear on the virtual learning, it is just that there's no contact whatsoever with any human beings during that other than one's parents. It's completely self-study. Mind you, the school is continuing to collect, you know, X amount per pupil because they can consider them enrolled in the school. But the ball that was dropped with the VTVLC, which was with real teachers from actual Vermont schools, the way that was supposed to be set up was for X number of student hours, each school provides X number of teacher hours. And it was left to the impression of many parents that it was this online cooperative that dropped the ball, when in fact it was, and my understanding of things, the refusal of the school district to provide enough teachers for the students so that they could have actual teacher presence, albeit virtual. So, you know, nothing's perfect right now with COVID, but in my opinion, they are definitely making things out to be better on the surface than they are in reality. And just the fact that nobody will actually answer any questions is, again, disturbing. And I think it stems from the fact that my wife asked or submitted a Freedom of Information request because they were not forthcoming with any documents, told us that it was 56 cents a minute, which I know how that works with the town, and that there were 12,000 documents. And after that, they claimed that, and it's come from Bob several times, that we involved our lawyer, and that's why they won't speak to us, because that status quo, once somebody's lawyer is involved, all communications to parents stop. There has been no lawyer at all involved in any step of the way. And I would be my hope that somebody could convey that to the school. I make daily phone calls to the school trying to get information and don't get anything. You know, I would, as an elected official, I would be appalled if one of my colleagues or myself did that to anybody in this town.
Any other public comments or from any other board members?
I guess this is Scott. Again, I'm just kind of trying to absorb it all. I'm going to speak freely here other than just to say I wish we could find a way to formally acknowledge John's concerns. I don't want to let them go unaddressed. I'm not sure how we do that, and I don't want to pick a fight necessarily either, but I do think it might be important to somehow, if there can be a way to formally acknowledge the concerns. And I don't have much more to say other than that.
You know, I want to say, you know, as a board member, this is an imperfect place to bring this up. I would not bring this up if I was the only one experiencing this, because that would be, in my opinion, an inappropriate use of power, so to speak, given that I have a position within town government. But knowing the fact that there are other people that feel the same way that I do, it made me compelled to bring something up in a public forum. Well, I mean, this isn't a public forum, but in a select board meeting such as this, this certainly by no means is a perfect place to discuss this. And I understand that, but you know, I'm brought it up, you know, I'm personally involved, will make no motion, but if somebody else is willing to, then that's great too.
Well, I personally think that that COVID-19 has made things challenging in all realms, and that is true in the school as well. That being said, there is no, regardless of who you are, if you wish to go and speak to your teacher or your administrator of a school, and or, for instance, your select board member or any public official, there is no excuse for no response or complete ignoring of queries, and or there's got to be a willingness to discuss. And I feel that if the school gave these options to the children, and they did, they said, you can send your kids to school. We'll do partial school and partial homeschooling or virtual schooling, or you can go with all virtual learning. And that is what our district offered to these students. And in my view, and being a parent of children many moons ago, you need to follow through with what you have offered. And to me, if all you're going to do is give a homeschooling curriculum to the students with no interaction from a teacher whatsoever, you shouldn't have offered that to them. And I know this whole thing is challenging because I'm dealing with COVID in my business, and it's not how I would like my business to go. And I'm making decisions that affect me financially and personally, and it affects the customers that I have enjoyed doing business with over the years. But there really is no excuse to offer something like virtual learning with a teacher and then not give that to the student. And here we're a month out. We've already lost a month in the school year for these students. And I think that the board should be responsive to those students that chose the option that they gave them that they no longer are getting. And that isn't acceptable for any school to do to any students. And I understand how hard it is, but that just isn't right. Any other comments?
Emily, I would just, I concur with what you're saying. And all I say is, you know, Bill and I are working on this. So we're trying to get it resolved for the Peters as well as, you know, a number of other families who, you know, had to make decisions based on, I think it, you know, in the beginning was good intentions, but things just haven't worked out. And so now it's time for the administration to respond to that and fix it. So that's what we're working on.
It's time for the board, honestly, to stop doing their best and step up to the plate and do what's necessary, make the hard call, make the hard decision, and make the school do their job. At a minimum, a weekly school board meeting happening to figure this out. I know you're trying to be on top of it, Bob, but having the potential for it to go month by month is not acceptable by any stretch of the imagination.
I will say one thing to both Bob and Bill, and having been on a school board in the past, in my past life, I understand how difficult it is as well. I will say, though, as a general comment, when you have the kind of turnover in administration that this school system has seen over the last not just 10 years, but 15 years or more, it is very difficult with that kind of turnover in leadership to have a consistent and well thought out educational experience and or educational leadership for the district as a whole. And I think that I'm not sure how you go about choosing a leader superintendent that you're looking for now and perhaps principals and whatever that will give you longevity, that will also give you stability. But I think that is one of the things that is more important than many, and also having this turnover and change of leadership in such a difficult time makes it even more challenging. And as I see the problem in the district, that is significant. And I'll just throw that out just because I know it's hard to get that kind of consistency, but that's really what you need. Any other comments?
This is Scott. Just a question for my fellow board members. Whether, given the gravity of what we're talking about, it sounds like there's a sincere effort underway to correct the issues. But nonetheless, I wonder if, given the gravity, the board might want to consider just drafting a letter or something, just to state concerns formally from the board. I'm just putting that out there.
Any other board members have any comments?
And John, I mean, I don't think you have a, I think you can speak on this. I don't think you have a conflict of interest here. So,
well, if other board members don't feel that they do, then I would be happy to, if that's a motion of one kind or another, I'd be happy to second it.
Well, I'll just for the sake of discussion, I will okay. That the board draft a letter to express its concern.
I would
Is
second
there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Is there any more discussion? So we have a motion on the floor. Are you ready to vote on that motion? I assume you are. John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Is there any volunteer of someone who would wish to come up with a rough draft for that letter?
I'll be happy to draft it if the board would like, seeing though I have more knowledge and pass it around and make sure everybody's in agreement with the contents.
Does anyone have a problem with that? Or no. Is that okay?
No, that sounds good.
Okay. Then, John, why don't you do that?
We'll do.
Now, we have, I think we should go back now to, be so that we do not forget, go back to these three warrants that we postponed. And if anyone... is that all right with the board?
That's fine. So, we can either for me to we. I guess there's a couple ways we can do it. We can separate them out and vote on them individually.
Why don't we do that? I would because we have done that in the past where there's been a concern about a particular warrant, so we have bifurcated out that part of the warrant.
So let's do the payroll warrant first, 21028. I move that we pay that payroll warrant for 9022.78, $9,022.78. Is there a second for that?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of paying out the payroll warrant 21028. John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself. Which one is the one with the school amount in it, John?
It's the 115 or whatever it is, 1,000. I don't have the warrant number, but it's the biggest
one. I don't have that warrant number either.
I had it in my email. Let me go back and I'll find it. I closed it.
While you're looking for that one, that's a different one than the two that I added to the original motion. We have an AP warrant 21024 for $10,264.56 and AP warrant 21025 for $9,568.88. I move that we pay out those as well. Is there a second?
I second that.
All those in favor? John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye.
So there's another warrant, which is 21029. Check warrant, legal notice for hearing to the Vermont Standard for $102. And WCMUUSD due education fund for $87,054.50.
How does the board wish to proceed? Do you wish to pay that amount, or do you wish to withhold the education part of that payment? What is the board's pleasure?
I think the problem. I mean, Scott, you probably know more than anybody. I don't know as though there's anything legally that the board can do. I wanted it separated out because me personally, I will vote no, and if others vote for it, that's fine. I believe we have a legal obligation to pay this. The town voted to expend the money, and we're not the school board. So, but that being said, any member can vote against something they don't believe in. That doesn't excuse the town from their legal responsibility either.
So I guess you need to make a motion for that particular warrant, and then we'll put it and second it. We'll put it up for a vote, and then you can, in good conscience, vote against it if you so desire. And because we probably are legally, I know we are legally responsible to pay it because it's been a voted expense.
So I'll move that we pay warrant number 21029. In the amount of $115,071.21.
I'll second that. All those in favor? John?
Nay.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Are you there, Scott?
I did. I said aye.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. And myself, aye. Okay, moving on. There is, and I believe I forwarded to you a Local Hazard Mitigation Plan Update Grant. And we currently have an LHMP that will expire in the next couple of years. And it can take more than 6 months for these grants to be awarded, in an additional 12 months to develop your plan and receive approval. So we can, in order to participate in this program, this is a 25% match certification program, so that for a new plan, the total amount of cost is $14,150, which will include a match of about $3,500. So this is something that we can put in the budget for the next year, but if we want to participate in this grant process, we have to fill out and email this 25% match certification form. Is that something the board wishes to have happen?
Is Karen, you're still here, right? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Karen, is this related at all to the conversation the other night about flood hazard mapping, or is this completely separate?
I think this is completely separate. What we were talking about is the flood hazard mapping is FEMA way back when they came through decided to skip Pomfret. So we don't have any flood hazard mapping, but I believe this is completely different.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. What is the upside to this subject we're talking about?
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead, Karen.
Nope, you go.
Well, we have to have local hazard mitigation plan, and what the FEMA says we need this, we have to have this. And so if we file this form, we will get 3/4 of the amount necessary to update this plan from the state. And if we don't, we'll pay the full amount of getting the plan updated. So go ahead. So we really, in order to have this happen, we can get 3/4 of it covered by FEMA. And if we don't wish to participate, we either won't have an updated plan or we will pay the full amount.
Okay. All right. Well, that's clear enough.
At least that's what it says here in this letter that I received from Stephanie Smith at Vermont.gov. And so my feeling is that if this is something that FEMA is going to require, if we can get 3/4 of it paid for by FEMA, we're kind of foolish not to take advantage of that. How the process will go remains to be seen.
Okay. And our plan is due for an update, it sounds like, then.
When I went online, yes, we do have one, and yes, it is due.
I guess that's all I need to know. So I'll move that we participate in the grant program.
So I need a motion.
I just made
Scott, it. He just did.
Second?
Scott moved to do it, and I seconded.
Great. All those in favor? John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself. I will fill out and mail the attached form and send it to Vermont.gov.
We just take a 1-minute break. I'm going to stop the recording so that I can restart it so that the file isn't so big that it won't go on the website.
Okay.